welcome to the Training in Economic Discipleship based around 10 Biblical Principles of Kingdom Economics. This will be delivered with 30 podcasts or MP3s, beginning with a one-day or two-day consultation and finishing with a reporting back one day where you bring back your stories based on your evaluation. This podcast is number 6.3, and it is about prosperity and the flip side of that, the dangers of wealth and property. Scriptures are very affirmative of prosperity. God wishes us to do well and to prosper. We have a paradox in the scriptures where Jesus says, "Blessed are you poor," so the poor are blessed, but on the other hand, poverty is a curse. Similarly, the rich are cursed. He says, "Woe to you who are rich, for you are full now," but on the other hand, riches are a blessing from the Lord, but they're very dangerous. So therefore, we should give them away again. So our first principle here is that God desires our prosperity. In Leviticus chapter 26, talking to a whole nation, we have a pattern that hard work plus God's blessing leads to prosperity. Or the flip side of that, hard work without God's blessing leads to economic disaster. And his blessing is intimately connected to our righteousness. So we could also say that work plus righteousness brings prosperity, or work without righteousness brings economic disaster. Now these are given to a nation, and there's also a whole series of questions in the book of Job as to why the ungodly prosper. So we have some unanswered questions across the scriptures as to the nature of success and prosperity versus our godliness and righteousness. Overall, though, we can say that God's desire is that we prosper in the land. The land is to be fruitful. We're to work to obtain its fruits. But this is not an impersonal objective universe, because God is behind the universe. He orders it. And while it follows universal laws, for he is righteous, there's also the sense of his personal overruling of those laws and superintending of them. In Joshua 1 verse 8, it says, "If we meditate on his law and do all that it tells us, we will be prosperous." So we have this principle of prosperity. This is very different to the prosperity gospel, which tells us that if we give to a certain person, then God will bless us and we'll become prosperous. That's magic. Magic is where we say one thing depends on another, but in fact the cause and the effect are not true. We came out of magic. On the other hand, if we do give, indeed there is a blessing on our life, but we should not use that to manipulate people to give to us. His personal blessing can multiply our work in the normal course of life. Perhaps that's 10% or 20%. For some it's 100-fold, as he blessed Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Blessing is that extra increase of our income as we walk with him and we please him. Now, the flip side to all of this is the danger of possessions. So Jesus gave us a choice in Matthew 6:24. He tells us that we cannot serve God and money. It's a choice. We cannot. It's an impossibility. Both require 100% commitment. You either love one or hate the other, or you're loyal to one and hate the other. Money never satisfies. Jesus made that choice. He could have come as a rich man or as an emperor, but he came to a stable. He could have chosen to be a rich Sadducee, but he chose to be a poor wandering scribe. Similarly, the rich young ruler made a choice. He could choose wealth or Jesus. He knew it was an either-or choice. He chose his trinkets. He went away sorrowful. How hard, Jesus explained to his team, how hard it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. That's in Luke 18, verse 24. Now there's another problem with riches. That's covetousness. It's a word that's used 19 times in the New Testament. It means striving, desiring material things. It's a greedy compulsion to acquire more and more, to desire to acquire. Colossians 3:5 tells us of covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, why is it idolatry? We desire the thing rather than the Creator. Now, Paul commands us that we don't even have lunch with another Christian who is greedy in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 11, and tells us the love of money is the root of all evils, 1 Timothy 6:10. So you cannot serve God and money. Now, this doesn't just apply to the rich. We all know people in our slums who are poor and covetous and greedy. And so whatever level of income we have, this can get into our soul, this desire to possess, this passion to have more and more. Now, there's another danger, which is spiritual blindness to other needs. So the first danger is the one of covetousness, or the first is really the one of worshipping possessions. The second is the one of covetousness. The third is spiritual blindness to other needs. Riches are a protection for the rich from the realities of those around them. That's Proverbs 18, verse 10. Our Proverbs tells us our riches are like a high tower to protect us. They may cause us to ignore the needy around us. It's because of this sin that God condemned the rich man in the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16, verse 19. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, he says, if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against them, how does God's love abide in him? You cannot love God and money. Matthew 13, he says, the cares of the age, the delight in riches, choke the word and it proves unfruitful. So not only do we have a spiritual blindness, but we begin to delight in these riches. Even though Jesus lived simply, he didn't consider things as evil, however. Now, even though the kingdom of God does not mean food and drink, but righteousness and joy and peace in the Holy Spirit, yet Jesus enjoyed life. He wasn't like John the Baptist, who was an ascetic, eating locusts and honey. Now, there's another evil that has to do with wealth, and that's deceitfulness of wealth. It gives us a false sense of self-sufficiency, security, and well-being. We need to beware. We do not say, my power and my hand have gotten me this wealth. It's the Lord who gives the ability to produce wealth. And so to confirm his covenant, that's Deuteronomy 8, verse 17 to 18. King Solomon built many great works, amassed a great fortune. But in the end, he says it was all meaningless. That's Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 4 to 11. So we have these dual dynamics, the blessing of God that increases wealth upon us as we are diligent to follow his commandments, and then the dangers as we get rich, where we can be deceived, we can become spiritually blind to others' needs, we can become covetous, we can worship possessions. So we walk a fine line between these two. We need to pray for God's prosperity and as we gain the most and careful to give it away again.